Blog Talk Radio.
Because
increase, increase, increase. Increase, increase. Just test two people, say increase. Increase, test somebody, say increase, increase, increase. Increase.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, it is your strength.
Come on and help me sing it.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
The joy.
Joy of the Lord is your strength.
Joy of the Lord.
Joy of the Lord.
Joy.
Is your strength.
Yes.
you to take your socks off at Divvy Radio. Everybody, take your socks off. Put your feet up, sit back, and relax. Welcome to the Inspiration Factory. You have your humble host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration. And hanging out with us tonight is our old running partner, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Well, hello there, Van. It's good to have you back.
Hey, hey, what's going on, Paul? How you feeling, brother? Good to be back.
Oh, not too bad. No point complaining about nothing. I'm here. I'm breathing. So I think I'm all right. How about yourself?
Oh, you're all right. But likewise, a little tired, but I'm here, you know.
I hear you. Yeah, I've been ripping and running a little bit myself today. I'm going to get myself in trouble by saying this, but I even had to go by and see our illustrious CEO today. Speaking of that, for those of you that don't know, although I don't think there are any, you're listening to The Inspiration Factory, which is an offering of Epiphany, the For Real Entertainment Network. 319-527-6300 is the number to dial in, and you must do so before the 11 o'clock hour. And this platform is sponsored by none other than Ball Links Jewelry, handmade jewelry. Can't go wrong with some Ball Links, I'm telling you. And these are both brainchilds of none other than author Larry Maddox, also known as For Real the Poet. And tonight, we're having open mic. But I want to ask a question of each caller. Wasn't nothing I planned. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. Although people like to think that I do that. And I'm completely appalled that they would think such a thing of me. But anyway, we're going to keep things moving right along. And that means we have to go to the phone before we start the show. Dan, would you like to start us off, or would you like to finish us?
I'll go ahead and I'll start us off, Paul. That's fine.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Let us go before God's throne. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, Lord God, asking forgiveness for any sins that we have committed against you, that you are displeased of, Lord God. Father God, we always ask for your divine grace and mercy upon us, that you already give it to us, but we don't want to take it for granted, Lord God. We're your children, and as disobedient as we can be, you still find ways to be with us in our time of need, in our times of trouble, or just when things are going right. And for that, Father God, we want to say thank you, Lord. Father, we want to lift those who are sick and shut into you right now, Lord God, who do not have the breath or the ability to pray, Lord God. Maybe because they've given up, Lord God. But Father God, we stand in a gap for them, Lord God, lifting them up to you right now, Lord God. Father God, we want to lift up our children to you. Yes, they're our children, but they're your children too, Lord God. And we ask that you continue to just watch over them. Continue to guide them, Lord God, especially when they're not in our presence. Lord, they see a lot of things happening in the world today, Lord God. And some of the things that we as parents or even as family members can't even begin to articulate. So, Father God, we have to yield to you to ask that you impart into us what we need to say to these children, Lord God. Father God, we as adults, Lord God, we need your blessings. But it must be according to your will, Lord God, not our will. So, Father God, we give you your word back, Lord God. We give it back to you, Father. Because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So we give it back. For we ask these things in Jesus the Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Well, what do y'all think about this weather this week? Is this not, I'm loving it, but this is crazy. But there's no such thing as global warming. I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't know. But, man, I'm going to ask you first this question that popped in my head. I'm just curious.
Okay.
You don't mind. What made you first fall in love with Jesus?
What made me first fall in love with Jesus? Oh, man. You know, Paul, I fell in love with Jesus when I got sick and tired, man. Sick and tired of falling short, sick and tired of being spat upon, sick and tired of not having a purpose. Feeling empty. And Jesus met me where I was.
Come on.
He didn't wait until I got a certain stature. He didn't wait for me to be birthed into a royal family. He merely met me where I was, in my dirt, in my sin. And he said, through my old pastor, he said, when are you going to stop playing and be a real man of God? I'm waiting on you. I died for you. I died for you. That's when I fell in love with Jesus, because he's shown me an unconditional love that no matter what I did, no matter who I was, he died for me.
No greater love. That is a,
what about you, my brother?
That for a minute. And it's weird, because as a child, when I went to the movie theater to see the Ten Commandments, that movie touched me so deeply. It's funny, I still remember that. I went home, I scrubbed the floors, I got on my hands and knees and waxed the floor. I mean, I was just like touched, and I couldn't explain it. And it was a few days later that I saw Billy Graham on TV. And it kind of tied into what I had seen in the Ten Commandments. This was before Christ. And again, there is no before Christ. So it was a little, but it was, I don't know. I immediately had my mom help me write for his kids' Bible study. And I just started studying, and it just, like, wow, who is he? How can he be that way? As a kid, I'm thinking this. But that's when he touched me off. I guess I became receptive to his presence. And fallen many times, but I've loved him ever since.
Amen. Amen.
It took a lot to get me down on my hands and knees.
You know, it's crazy how it's crazy how that works. We think that we're where we're supposed to be. Before we have him, and to tell you a true story. When I was working in the hotel industry, and we would have there would be these Christian conventions, downtown Baltimore. And a lot of people would come and stay at our hotel. When I tell you, Paul, I must have gotten saved like every day of the week. Not realizing what I was doing. Because they would ask me, and I would always say yes. And we go through the prayer and everything. And then a new group of people would come the next day, and they would ask me, and I would say yes. Not understanding the ramification of what I was accepting. And what happened was, is none of them took my number. None of them called me or told me that they would connect with me or reach out with me. I was in my early 20s. None of them made the single investment into me as a young man who had accepted Christ for me to understand the role that I would play. So I went through life not realizing that I had accepted him until it got serious. And like I said, the sermon was a real man of God. And I remember sitting in the pews like, I want to be that man. I want to be that man that God is proud of. I want to be that man that God uses to help bring others into the kingdom. So when you talk about, you know, in your youth and, you know, Bible study and kids, we got to get them while they're young so they know that God loves them too.
Absolutely.
And not turn our back on them.
Yeah. That's one of the most important things that we can do. Raise up a child. And then have to be your child. But it's obvious that it's been a lack by the children that we see today. Somewhere along the line, we dropped the baton.
Absolutely.
But it's not too late. It's not too late, but we can't just sit back and complain about it and talk about, look at these bad behind kids and, oh, this lost generation and all of that. Because if we're not attempting to spread the word of God to them, we're just as bad as the ones that didn't teach it previously. It's way past the time for just lip service.
Yes, sir.
Way past. Well, I apologize for kind of throwing that on you, man. But I ain't seen you in a while, so I had to make up a little bit for lost time.
Make up for lost time. Understood, sir. Understood. Understood.
You know what? I think we came here to bless others with our pen tonight. What do you say we start with some poetry?
Absolutely. Let's get at it.
All right. Sounds like a plan to me. Let me see. And since you kind of got thrown in here at the very, very last minute, did you have anything for tonight?
I
understand.
I can do this piece. It's called Witness His Creation.
Mine is yours, Ken.
Thank you. Who told you that you were useless? May I suggest you ignore the wiles of the devil and flee from his wicked nonsense and come out of peril with the full understanding that you are his workmanship, fully being manifested by your continued relationship, a relationship where he recognizes you as his child, his work of art, and that's putting it mild. Because he knew you before he laid the foundation of this world. In his word, he promised you that the place he has prepared has many mansions and streets that are paved with gold. All you have to do is be obedient and grow old, or at least until he sends for you. So did you open your eyes today If so, then it's true. You keep putting on the full armor of God and fight this earthly battle, but never think of it as odd that God chose you to be tested by the enemy, because he knew you were the remedy for a battle you have been tested for. So no more. Who told you you were? Who told you that you were useless? Not God, because you're his creation and you're his distinct. Now, can I get a witness? Poem.
Wow. If you could put that in a pill, there would be no more depression in this world. People would just get it.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what nobody says about you. When you get that, you are created by God himself. There's nothing any man should be able to say to cause you to doubt yourself, cause you to feel bad about yourself, cause you to feel less than any of that. That's a powerful piece, man, and so many need to hear it today. The rise of suicide amongst our youth and all these things.
Yes.
We could just get that point. You were created by the Almighty
for His for His glory, not mine.
Yes.
Not mine.
Yes. Awesome piece, man. Thank you. I appreciate that one.
My brother, what have you brought tonight?
I brought a piece called Think.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. I spit a poem at a funeral the other day for someone I've known over 30 years. It was an emotional, thought-provoking service that even caused a few tears. Then afterwards, seeing everyone at the repast, smiling, drinking, catching up, and just living life, and I thought, wow, this is actually very nice. I had to think, even in the grips of bereavement and grief, even in our own individual, for lack of a better word, space, I saw the Father's grace. I still saw vestiges of sadness, but there was also a degree of something akin to joy upon each and every face. And that made me think. It made me think about the reality of our fall from immortality and now our fall from morality. It made me think that tomorrow may not be in the cards for me, and my soul may be required. And it made me think, what have I to leave behind that is of any real significant worth? What would be the footprint of me left as proof that I even existed on planet Earth? It made me think, was my exit as impactful as my birth? Yeah. That day made me think. It really made me think. Thank you, Lord. It made me think. It made me think of the unfathomable depths of your love for me. It made me think just how much you sacrificed and accepted for me. It made me think, and I mean really think, of how great is my debt to thee. I mean, that was the day that actually enhanced me. Because today, I think. And what I think is perchance a growth spurt in my spiritual maturity. Because thanks to a forgiving, merciful, understanding, way-making, nurturing, all-powerful God, I think. Poem. Oh.
Wow. Wow. I love this piece right here, Paul. The reflection that you do in it. And just how I know how much you cheated when you wrote it. But I want to tell everybody else.
Oh, now you're going to give my secret away, huh?
I ain't going to tell everybody else, but this is a great piece, Paul. This is a great piece.
My daddy put that on my heart. And
no.
Out of that bereavement. And this was just a couple weeks ago, a week ago, maybe. That funeral just made me think, man. God is just so good. And even at a funeral, you can see so much of him. Even when you're lost in bereavement, you can still see so much of him, feel so much of him. And, you know, a preacher, when I was locked up, this preacher used to come up to the Bible studies. And old country, southern white dude. But he was an awesome teacher. But he told me there was 18 inches from heaven to hell. And that's from your mind to your heart.
Oh, wow. You know, that's good.
So many things.
That's good.
Yes. Yes, that thing, yeah. I thought about it. It took a few times hearing it from him for it to really just grasp the point.
Hey, but what about those people that got really long necks? You think it's a little bit longer? I mean, you know what? Never mind.
I immediately got an image of those African tribes that put the discs around their necks and stretched their necks.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes what we have in our heads, we don't allow to catch up to our hearts. You know, but we have to recognize him in all aspects of our bodies, our lives. Our heart must love him. Our mind must love him. Our soul must love him. Because he deserves it. He deserves more than we could ever think about giving him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't think there's a person within the sound of my voice that would not agree with that. But my brother Van, what say you that we begin opening the mics and hear what some of these children of God have to say?
Amen. I am here for all of it. So who do we got first?
First on the line is none other than C-34 Music. What's going on, my brother? How are you?
C-Double in the house. What's good, bro?
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken.
Yeah.
Let the church say amen.
What's up?
Man.
Hi. How are you?
Amen, brother. Doing good, man. Good to hear you.
Mm-hmm. Had to get my windings on for a minute.
nothing wrong with it.
Been a minute.
Nothing wrong.
Been a minute since I've been in. And I like the promo that you did, Divine Inspiration, even though I don't see Creflo Dollar taking his socks off in the church right now. He'll be like, you'll never find some funk just like mine. Yeah, I don't see that. But how have you two been, you and Poetic, how have you both been?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, bro.
You better, I'm on the show.
I know that's right, bro. Toot that horn, baby.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here. Mm-hmm. Great poems by the both of you.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, sir. We cheat. We try to follow what our daddy has. And it was so amazing that every time I followed what he wanted me to do, things came out better than I could have expected. And yes, I still don't always follow everything he wants me to do. It's kind of crazy. I don't
know. Well, that's because he's perfecting you. That's what's going on.
Mm. Mm. Ooh, and that process sometimes can hurt. But
yeah,
the results of
it does.
Is,
Yeah, it does hurt. But I'm glad that he's doing it and he cares enough to do it.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, Doug.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind, before we offer you the floor to do your piece, would you mind if I ask you a question?
Please ask me a question.
What made you first fall in love with Jesus?
I want to say his protection. I mean, when you learn about Jesus as a child, you get some mixed messages. I'll just put it like that. It gets religious and stuff. And religion is a good starting point. But when you find out a lot of this stuff wasn't actually true until you study to show yourself approved, then everything changes. My answer to your question is the fact that he has saved me from death threats in the sixth grade, saved me from dogs that tried to attack me, saved me from a lot of things in my childhood that I won't speak of. It's between me and him. But the fact that he loved me so much that he gave his life, his sacrifice for me, a wretched man like me, he gave his life so I can have eternal life. I mean, where else am I going to go? What? I can't turn back from him. Where else am I going? That's my answer.
I can't think of anywhere else that you could go.
Mm. That part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I think of the times that I thought that I could find somewhere. Yeah. Needless to say, it didn't go so well.
But, yeah.
The fortunate thing is that he is such a merciful God. He's such a forgiving God. That even when I, for all intents and purposes, gave him my rear end to kiss, he loved me. He might have smacked me on it to make me wake up, but he loved me through it. And like you said earlier, Clarence, he loves me enough to do that.
Yeah, I mean, how many chances he has given me?
Jeez.
Every day.
I'm speaking
and
of myself,
the fact that,
man.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that I am awake every morning gives me another chance to get it right. And when I get it wrong, he disciplines me like a father's supposed to. But he still loves me.
I appreciate that answer. with something like that, of course, there is no wrong answer, but it's just amazing how, like Van was saying earlier, he meets you where you are. And each of us has a different point.
But that's right.
He comes with that Teflon hands of his to just dig down into the muck and the mire and the doo-doo. And pull us out, and still be spotless. Perfection personified. That in and of itself shows an all-powerful God.
Yeah, what a mighty God we serve.
Yes, yes, yes. from my brother, C Double 30 Pro Music. What did you bring to bless us with this evening?
I brought you a piece that I wanted to do last week, but because of the way things was going last week, I didn't make it to the show. But I wanted to save it for this show.
Well, the mic is yours, King.
Thank you. This piece is called Pray. When I pray, I do it in private. And if that's not possible, I do it in silence. I pray for you. I pray for myself. I pray for forgiveness. I pray for my health. I'm having a conversation with God, my creator. I do my best in not portraying myself as a pagan, showing off in public so I can get favor from people of the world that God has shown to be fake with gibberish blabbering. See, I don't speak in tongues if there's no interpretation. Why would I do that for? I talk in the language in which you and I can understand. I'm not in this talent competition of intercessory prayer and singing to be judged and approved by man wearing my Sunday's best. My prayers are personal. I come as a child. I ask for my needs, but he is not a Santa Claus or a genie in a bottle. He is the God of hosts. He placed me in, but not of this world. He placed in me a heart to love. If he calls something abominable, then I must choose not to follow the crowd. In its sinful debauchery, I must walk as a man of God, even down on my knees, head bowed down in reverence, surrendering spiritually, remembering the great I am. This is holy ground. I'm blessed in his presence. And when I say amen, it's an agreement, and that settles it. Knowing I'm a sinner, accepted as one of God's children, imperfect but delivered as a temporary citizen of this world. I hope this message ministers. Poem.
Well, I'm very glad that you gave that piece to do here tonight. You had a mouthful of things that touched me in there. But the ones that really got to me is it was an instructional piece to a degree. He spoke about how to pray. I'm with you on that. You know, some denominations, I suppose, think that you have to follow a certain ritual, a certain guideline to pray. And you don't. And you have to stand before the pulpit like the Pharisees, you know, with the long things hanging from the fringes, hanging from their ropes to make themselves look important and pray. But no, prayer is something to be, it's personal. It's intimate with God. And so I appreciate you bringing that point to the forefront. And,
hey, you're welcome.
Thank you for that. There was a lot of meat in there, but I don't want to hold up the mic by speaking on everything. Dan, did you have anything for that piece?
I mean, I know I ain't been here in a few Sundays, but geez, this how you do when, you know, you don't have somebody with you and, you know, Alonzo, you know, he take his little time, you know, you just take over, you just carry the whole thing. This what you do? C double.
Yes.
My brother, I'm gonna say this. To God be the glory, exquisite piece. Because Paul didn't really leave me a whole lot to add, but I know God is pleased with you, my brother. So continue scribing.
Yes, I will, because I have a couple of ideas and topics that I have to touch on concerning what's been happening in the world. And especially in the world of entertainment.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, those are clues. Think you know where I'm going. So,
We definitely appreciate you coming through tonight. If you're not working, I hope you can hang out with us for a little while and hear what the other folks have to say.
I'm going to catch the playback. I'm going to eat some jambalaya with my wife. I'm going to watch Titans versus Kansas City. And then later I'm going to work on some music and praise God through all of it, because without him, none of this is possible.
I know that's right. Hey, Van, can you hold the show down? I'm getting ready to hop on the next thing smoking. I'm going to invite myself for some jambalaya.
I got you, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I got you, bro.
Yeah, you can have some.
All right. I'm on my way.
Hey.
C-Dub, thank
one
you so
love.
Much for coming through.
Hey, one love, one mic to the both of you. God bless you.
One love, one mic.
God bless you. One love, one mic. God bless you, brother.
Wow. But, you know, I'm looking down here, man. We got an all-star lineup coming up here. Wow, that was an awesome piece that I really liked there. Pray.
I know, bro. It was an awesome piece. Get your mind off that jambalaya, bro. Get your mind off the jambalaya.
How do you know what I'm thinking about?
I know, man, because I'm thinking about it. What you mean?
I can almost smell it. I can almost smell it.
Almost. Whew.
Man. But you know, what do you say we keep things moving right along? We bring on the next caller. And I
who we
think
got
you
next?
Just might know who this person is. You might have a little inkling of who this person is. If I say three words. La Perla Negra.
Oh, hey, yeah, I know that one. I know who that is. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, y'all doing? Hey, Pastor Boy. Hey, Ben. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. We're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Well, I'm loving the show so far, even though it just started. Beautiful, beautiful pieces that you're doing and the testimonies that you're giving. I love the question that you asked him for tonight. Really, really very important question. Because we all got a testimony about that.
Yeah. And I think my daddy put that in my head just to kind of remind me of what my mindset was, what my heart set was when I first just loved him. Mm-hmm. Because I guess I can only speak for myself, but sometimes it's just lip service. You know, I need to be reminded just all that just snatched me up like electricity made me love him. And I appreciate him for doing that. So since you remember that I asked the question, what is your answer? What made you?
Say that again.
I said, what made you first fall in love with Jesus?
Ooh, child. Let me tell you something. When you start living a destructive lifestyle because you have misery around you, your home, which is supposed to be peace, turns into a war zone, kind of do some really, really messed up stuff in life. I never really lost my faith. It's just that I stopped believing in myself. And after all that craziness, when my husband passed, I felt unprotected and confused. And it seemed like the same behavior that I had been putting up with from people that claimed to care about me and love me, it was magnified after my husband passed because of me allowing fear in my life. And I got so tired of being used and hurt and treated a certain kind of way. I just fell to the floor one night. And literally I got weak and I just fell to the floor and I started talking to him. And something in my inside of me got really, really light. Like I knew he heard me that night. And I let go of all of that misery, everything, the anger, that fear. He replaced my tears of hurt and anger and pain and disappointment and wanting vengeance with his tears. He put that peace and that love in my spirit, and that was pretty much it. I felt like sunshine ever since then. And that was that night.
Wow. You know, once you've really been touched
mm-hmm.
by the Spirit of God, you'll never be the same.
You're not.
And, you know, you can never go back to where you were.
No, you
Although
can't. Because
some idiots like
I'm
me
sorry.
Have tried, but
it's a burden that is removed from you. Literally, you can feel it. I wish I could really describe what it is that I felt in my body, but it started from just deep inside, and I started feeling like something was being removed, in which it was, but I literally, I felt it. And I said, wow, even after all that crazy stuff that I did, that lifestyle that I was living, you know, all of it, he still was there for me. You know,
yeah.
He hurt me. He really, really hurt me. And any tears that I shed now, I still shed a little bit of sad tears because I feel for people and their situations. But most of my tears are tears of joy from here on in.
Beautiful thing.
It is. I'm trying to. It is. That's why I laugh all the time, man. I'm trying to tell you. I was just talking with my sister last night, and we were talking about being filled up with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm crazy. I talk to him all day, every day. And she said, that's not crazy just because, you know, she said, talking to God is not a sign of craziness, okay? Mm-hmm. It actually means that you are very, very close with him, closer than most. Because a lot of people don't say anything. They don't think about God until they're actually going through something. And they be like, oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
instead of just having a basic conversation in for everything that you do. All day long I'm talking to him. And sometimes I fuss. I'm like, now I know you did that. We have a friendship, you know. That's how I just know him like that.
You know,
and
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Man.
It is.
It really is. Nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that, Van? I do. What a testimony. I mean, you know, you said something that most people need to hear. When you said when you've lived a destructive life.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that there are people walking around today that don't believe that their lives are destructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really believe that they're not toxic. They're not narcissistic. Mm-hmm. They don't have a hateful bone in their body. And y'all will turn around and say, well, I hate it when blah, 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 blah. But I thought you said you didn't hate it.
Yeah.
That's a powerful testimony.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen
and
some things.
Yeah. But you know,
yeah.
It took me a long time, Danielle, to even talk about some of those things that I've seen me do. mm-hmm. out of shame or whatever. But once I knew that I was walking in God's grace,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't embarrassed by those things anymore. I allowed him to use them to empower someone else who might be in a similar situation. You know, even in mm-hmm. the filth that I had been involved with in several occasions or situations, mm-hmm. he still loved me enough to use my filthy behind to make a point to someone else whose behind was even filthier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just boggles my mind. How can you make something clean out of something filthy? But you can take my filthy behind mm-hmm. and clean somebody. How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, because God is just beyond my ability to comprehend.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really is. Amazing grace. Yeah. There you go.
Yes, indeed. Amazing grace. Amazing is an understatement.
You're right. So,
you're right. What did you bring to bless us with, Yvette?
Something old, but it's still peace.
Mm-hmm. I like old. Old stuff sometimes tastes good. It marinates in the flavors and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's seasoned.
There you go.
Yes.
The mic is yours, Queen.
Thank you. This is called I Am His Child. You want me battered, tattered, broken, and bruised. But you should understand my strength. It comes from what I've been through. And God holds my hand to pull me in case I fall through. So no, I refuse to become friends with the pattern on the floor because each blessed step that I take is already mapped out by the sun, the moon, and the stars and more. I keep my head up because God wants me. His love is in me. I guess it's sort of a humble vanity. So if you see me look down, trust me, a pebble popped into my shoe and I need to get it out to toss it back at you. I know you wait for me to stumble, perhaps fall even. But baby, you still don't get it. I got the strongest safety net of all. You see, I am at peace, indeed, and divinely inspired. I am unconditionally loved and highly favored. That means I am completely covered. But my heart remains as open as the ocean with a blessed sparkle of hope in my eyes. Without judgment, contempt, or despair. And my arms are always welcoming to give comfort and protection. Because his love is always beside me and inside me. It's all around me. I shine bright and I vibrate high because I am his child. Get peace.
Yes, you are. That shows a lot of strength. And it shows that your trust in him is the source of your strength.
Yeah.
I said, even though you had your failures, he's brought you through it, but you recognize him. That's something we all have to do, really, is recognize our shortcomings and watch how he uses those shortcomings to better us. Dang,
right. That's right.
Man,
absolutely.
Man. You know, you can tell when God uses his divine authority to push your pen.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel his signature all over that piece.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. Exquisite
Thank
piece.
Thank you. Thank
Exquisite
you.
Piece. See how powerful things are when you pull out some old pieces?
Man. Yeah, and I appreciate it. I really do. Yeah.
It's funny. It's amazing how those older ones seem to be so timely, even after it were years later that you wrote them. It seemed like you wrote it for that particular moment.
You know what? There's, when it comes down to spirit, there is no time and space. With infinity, there's, you know, you don't lose time with him. You just, God, I can't even explain how it feels when I talk about it. I'm trying to tell you, it's so good, and y'all get me like this every time. It is, it's so good. It feels light, and I always tell people, you know, it's true. You just come to him as you are, okay? And you really don't have to have read that in the Bible or had it said to you, because when you finally give in to him, you invite him in, you already know. It's nothing you can hide from him. Okay, so, man, look, it's all good.
It is. Well, as our illustrious CEO would say, Miss Pearly, what do you have going on in the Epiphany world?
I thought I was going to escape. Okay, well, alternating Saturday nights with Poetic, I am the host of Poetic Therapy, and that's a place where you can come and relieve some mental stress through some open mic poetry, some healthy conversation, and some smooth sounds from my playlist. Alternating Monday nights with Kenyon Queen's Quarters, I am one-third host of Soul Cafe, where I co-host with Tiffany's own CEO of, and he's also the CEO of Raw Links, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas, and Poetic. And you guys come on by that night, because we got a second half of the show, and it's a segment called Pick Up Your Pen. And right there is when you are, you know, you push to tap into your creative side. You'd be surprised at what you come up with. Every Wednesday night, Chair, I am one half host of the Erotic Love Zone. So funny saying that on here. But I co-host with my sexy, sultry voice diva. Now, you know I can't give y'all the topic of discussion. It's not appropriate on here, but it's every Wednesday night at 9. And every other Friday night at 10 p.m., I co-host with one of the newest members of Epiphany Family, that's Anonymity. I want you guys to send out some prayers for me fighting COVID, and it kind of hit him really, really hard this time. And for those of you that have been around somebody that has it or have had it yourself, you know you really, really got to fight on your hands to get well. So I believe that's it, gentlemen. Back to you.
Jeez. Hey, Ben. Can you imagine how many paychecks this woman getting?
Oh, man, tell me about it.
I'm going to put that out there in the universe. Yeah.
She busy.
Lord, you heard it right.
Busy.
Yes, indeed. But I do want to say this, Danielle. You don't have to feel weird or feel different stating, talking about the Erotic Love Zone or anything like that. If you've ever read the Songs of Solomon.
Solomon, yes. Yes, I know that book.
That's all I got to say about that.
I know. And you know what's crazy? Because whenever I'm on here and I, right before I mention Wednesday night show, that's the book that comes to mind. I'm saying to myself, that's all about love in there. Yeah, that's physical
love.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah. Yes, it definitely is. The imagery, I mean, it's a wealth. Yeah. Well, my queen, we're going to send you over to the Praise Lounge. I'm going to keep things moving right along, but I really appreciate you coming through with that. but peace, I am his child.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
One love, one mic. God bless.
One love, one mic.
Love, one mic. God bless y'all.
Wow. They ain't joking tonight. Yeah, I'm not joking. I think our daddy had something to do with this, though.
They coming, too.
I think daddy had something to do. Yeah. I know one person said, I'm listening, and I don't think I'm going to raise my hand. And then they came out and fried the mic. So, anyway,
that's the power of God.
There you go. There you go. You might say no, but if that's what he wants you to do, I don't care how many times you say no, you're going to do it. He has
Absolutely.
A way. He has a way of making a way. And I think this brother that's coming on next kind of has an idea about just how he does make a way when there is no way. And that'd be none other than Brother O. What's going on with you tonight, my brother?
What's good, Brother O?
Hey, boy, how you doing? Brother Van, how you feeling?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Feeling pretty good, bro. How about yourself? How you feeling?
I'm good.
Good.
It's always good to hear that. Always good to hear
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Ben, would you like to ask Brother O a question, or do you want me to ask him a question? But one way or the
Brother
other,
O.
Brother O, you're
going to be asked a question. The question for the evening, Brother O, is when did you first fall in love with Jesus?
When I first fell in love with Jesus, it was years ago. It's been years ago since fell in love with Jesus. You know, he loved me even when I didn't love myself, when I felt that I was not loved by him. I mean, God loves you whether you're in a mess, whether life is going well. Either way, you need God more than ever, whether you're in a mess or when you're doing good. At a certain point in time, a difficult situation, and you don't know how it's going to work out, how you're going to get out of it, God always provides a way of escape. Well, if you're going through something like I'm going through now, you need the faith to just hang in there until, like Jacob, when he hung on to God until his blessing came. So God loves you whether you're, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done. All of your transgressions, all of your sins, God loved you in spite of those things. And you have to understand he loves you unconditionally. And I was impressed by my sister, the Pearl of the Negro, said, talk to him every day. You don't need to be deep with it. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to do all of that stuff. Just have a conversation with God. Just talk to him. If you need an answer, just talk to him. If you need prayer about something, you need guidance about something, just go to God and he'll give you an answer. And no matter what, God loves you. No matter, God loves you and can't do nothing about it. That's it.
Yes, sir. Nothing about it.
And truth be told.
And when somebody says, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it, that means they love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Regardless.
Yes. Well said, brother.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Now, my brother, at the risk of really checking out the clauses and all of that stuff in our insurance policy, we're going to give you the mic.
Let you do what you do best.
The mic is yours, okay.
The title of this poem is called Brother, Oh, You're a Legend. According to the dictionary, the word legend is defined as extremely famous or notorious person, especially in a particular field. In the conventional sense of life, I purposely didn't want to be called a legend because I didn't perform or write poetry to win awards or become a celebrity. My main intentions all along have always been to share stories about my life to people who needed a source of courage and inspiration and to be a game changer, pioneer for poets with disabilities, who represents people who have been completely written off, unnoticed, under the radar, and forgotten. My dear brother, since I've been performing poetry for over 12 years, my main objective was always staying relevant to the times, always speaking with honesty and transparency, creating poetic masterpieces that impacted the lives of thousands of people, and always remaining dedicated and consistent to my craft until I experienced nationwide recognition and a breakthrough after studying, watching, and observing the true legends in Chicago for the last 12 years, I kept telling myself, I'm going to be in that elite company eventually. Back then, I was under the radar while I was constantly learning about the business side of poetry. When I first came on the scene in 2010, I was the phenomenon who took the poetry world by storm with my storytelling abilities. I was a megastar to make until my third open heart surgery nearly 10 years ago. After my surgery, I nearly walked away from my spoken word ministry for a good 8 years ago because of being overlooked. However, thanks be to God, I stayed the course and recalibrated my focus into developing my other skills and talents. Since then, I have gone on to win numerous awards and received accolades, including 4 National Spoken Word Awards for Overcoming the Year. My dear brothers and sisters, every now and then I ask myself the question, why would my fellow poets refer to me as a legend? Why would I be called a celebrity while in the hospital awaiting a heart transplant? What attributes and characteristics of a legend do I possess? To most people, I'm an average Joe who rose from obscurity to become a well-known personality, a luminary, and a household name in the Chicago poetry community. Upon meeting me in person, your first impression would be one of astonishment and total surprise by my unique abilities of putting words together to touch people's lives. See, I'm a very mild-mannered, articulate, intelligent brother and a true gentleman and maintains his high standards of professionalism, integrity, and character. My dear brothers and sisters, if you had general conversations about legends, you will mention professional athletes or any other celebrity you can think of. Because in this lifetime, brothers and sisters, very few people in the world are true legends. Brother, what makes you a legend? I'm the genius who came up with my trademark introduction before performing. Brother O is most definitely. I'm the icon who completed my debut CD project, Brother O, the Chronicles of Living Miracle, on the hospital waiting for a heart transplant. I'm going to be the next big name that will experience an overflow and abundance of opportunities after fully recovering from my heart transplant. I'm going to experience the lifestyle of a celebrity when I come home from the hospital, but yet I will still practice humility through all of it. And I am poised to take my place as one legend, not just in the Chicago poetry community, but in the national poetry community. Rest in peace.
Wow. Yeah, brother, you're transparent and a lot that you've gone through. I guess could inspire someone else to you know, just continue determination, perseverance. It's a strong piece.
Thanks.
Strong piece, I like that. Man, what you got for that?
Let me get off of mute. Brother O, dynamic writing as always, bro. You know I love your work. I love it when
Thanks.
God gives you the ability to just keep scribing, bro. And you're right. After receive that heart transplant, the doors are just going to keep opening, keep opening, keep opening, keep opening. Because God got work for you to do, brother. So I hope you're ready to run full steam ahead because it's coming, bro.
Yes.
Soon and very soon. Yeah. We're going to claim that. Man, I can't wait to hear that testimony, though.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Man,
I can't wait.
I think all the callers would be sitting up there doing the holy dance in their houses, rooms, or wherever they are.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a beautiful day. And just remember us, Brother O, and let us hear that testimony.
Amen.
There's going to be some power in those words.
Oh, yes, well, definitely.
My brother, I definitely appreciate you coming through this evening with that. Take a time out of your busy schedule to come hang out with us here at the Inspiration Factory. We're going to put you back in the praise lounge, and we're going to keep things moving because there's something else I want you to hear from this next caller.
I appreciate it.
Word.
Appreciate you, brother.
God bless you, my brother.
God
one
bless
love,
you.
One mic.
Right.
One love, one mic.
I didn't say that to put anybody on the spot, but I know there's something in this next piece, and I don't even know what the piece is, but I know there's something in this piece that Brother O needs to hear. So I'm going to hurry up and bring this caller on.
Hello, Adrian. How are you?
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Miss VIP.
Hello. How's everybody tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in there.
That's all we can do.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you fail is when you don't try.
Wait.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear things are going good for you guys now. Down in Florida. I'm waiting for an invitation so I can come down and just soak up a little sunshine.
Hey,
although,
nothing wrong
right
with that,
now, but, you know, right now, it would have to be for next week because this week we just came out of was, like, phenomenal. We're in the 70s. That's unheard of for November for us. Yeah, I mean, consistently in the 70s. Beautiful days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As beautiful as it is, I got to realize that it's one of those signs that the Bible speaks about. Didn't it say something about you wouldn't be able to tell one season from another?
It did.
And isn't November supposed, for up north anyway, supposed to be one of those when it's starting to get cold, frigid, and you got to bundle up in your parkas and your boots and all that kind of stuff?
Yes,
but
sir.
Yet you go outside, you see people up here walking around in short pants and short sleeves. And it's not only that persuasion that can handle the cold better than some of us can. Us too.
Mm-hmm.
So that lets you know that this is supposed to be November, but it feels more like April. I mean, it's hard to tell the season. That's not a wake-up call. I don't know. I'm just saying. Anywho, what did you bring for us tonight, Adrian?
This piece is called Just a Closer Walk, I think.
Ooh. I like that already. Mine is yours, Queen.
Thank you. I know that my yesterdays are more than my tomorrows. I have to be mindful and let God be mindful of me. He's never let me down, even when I walked away. I thought I was mad, too sad to cope, like God didn't know what he was doing. Who was I fooling? He was and still is the author and finisher of my faith. And many times I neglected to pray. My faith waned and in the hole I stayed. Until I realized faith without works is dead. I had to be of good courage and wait on God. I had to get up, show up, keep being me until I was delivered. And it took a while because his time wasn't mine. But I got delivered. I realized he never left me, and he loved me in spite of myself. No one else can do me like him. Now I don't need to rock the crowd for me. All I needed was a closer walk, just him and me, so I can hear a word to hold on to heal my soul. With him, I'm made whole, not perfect in any way, just me. And in his word, I'll forever stay. And that's that piece.
Okay, now.
Van, you infected me, Van. I was on mute. But I'm going to let you tackle that first, Van.
Hey, in his word, I'll forever stand. That's a powerful statement. That is a powerful statement because, you know how hard it is when you're going through trials and tribulations to just stand on God's word. And when it feels like you're getting beat down, you just be wanting to throw in the white towel, but like, you know what, I surrender. It's nothing wrong with surrendering. It's who you're surrendering to. So when you stand on his word and you surrender to him, that means that you have yielded to his power and are allowing him to take over. So this is a powerful piece, Ms. VIP, and I loved it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for the conviction of the divine inspiration.
Yeah, I know this was payback, man. That's all I got to say. What he said.
Right.
really just shows the depth of your dedication. Because like Dan was saying, through it all, you still cling to him. You know, and in the midst of all that stuff, it forges a closer walk. And the title alone is a powerful statement. A closer walk.
Yeah.
Every day we strive to get just a little closer. If we could only do what that poem spoke on, could you imagine how much better my life would be? Oh, my goodness. If I stopped getting in my own way and just forge a closer walk with him. Very powerful. Thank you for bringing that. Yeah, that spoke to my soul. Closer walk.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yes. So, Miss VIP.
Yes, sir.
What you got going on in the Epiphany world?
Well, as aforementioned, my diva said that she and I, that's La Perla Negra and I, are in the Erotic Love Zone every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Now we're in daylight standard time. Daylight standard time. But anyway. But we do not have a topic yet, but, you know, come and have some fun with us. We always have some good topics, and if you missed any, go back and listen.
That's the beautiful mm-hmm. thing about this modern technology. You can catch it again at a later date.
Yep.
Miss Vapi, yes. Thank you yes. so much for that piece. Yeah. I just got to say it. I just
well,
got to say it. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
We're going to send you with the rest of the folk at the over at the Praise Lounge. And
all right.
Keep things moving right along. Thank you once again. God bless you. One love,
right.
one mic.
God bless you both. One love, one mic.
Wow. That piece right there. Sheesh. I see a number down towards the bottom of the screen that does not have their hand raised, which is a normal occurrence for a certain person. But I was just wondering if you forgot to raise your hand again, Miss 815. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names because I'm not the one to throw people under the bus. But I will do this. I'll give you the initials. Her initials are Gina Storm. Did you forget to press 1 on the mic, or were you listening? She must have been listening.
I'm sorry, Paul. You were looking for me.
Yeah.
Hi, Pastor. Juliana was listening in, and I said, I don't know if I raised my hand or not, but if he asked if 815 is Gina Storm, or if he asked if I had something I wanted to contribute, please let me know, and she just did. Thank you, Mommy. She was going to write something for the show tonight. You know, every now and then she'll freestyle, but she was like, I'm just going to watch cartoons with the kids. But she's the oldest of my 3 grandchildren. She's the 10-year-old who wants to be a doctor. And, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, girl.
Yeah, a physician, because she said, you know, physician is the fancy word for doctor. I said, okay so what's going to
I love it. I love
she
it.
She says, infectious disease. And I said, really, what made you think of that? The Ebola? Because I remember when she was a toddler, she would always, if somebody started coughing or sneezing in her presence, she'd be like, oh, you got the Ebola. So when that started, I thought that's what the direction she was going in. She was like, nah, you have lupus, and it's horrible, and I don't want it to exist anymore. So my plan is to eradicate it.
Go
ahead. Not
cure it, not come up with medication that will make the symptoms livable. No, she said eradicate, which means cease to exist.
She said eradicate, cease to exist.
Okay.
You have no place here. No place here.
No, she said that when she was 7, so... I'm pretty sure, and actually what she does in her free time is read math and science, but she does math problems and read science books. So,
wow.
Yeah. I tell people this all
the
time.
Which one is this? What's her name?
Grandkids, I still pick them. Say it again, Paul.
Which grandchild is this?
That's the oldest, Juliana. That we just call her Dr. Julie.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's my girl.
And so my middle granddaughter, Danielle, said she's going to be a foreman on a construction site in a company that she runs, and she's only going to wear pink hard hats because she wants to wear dresses, heels, and pearls on the work sites to make sure that women will run the world. I salute that.
All right.
And my grandson said she's going to be a firefighter, peace officer, and a garbage man. And I said, why? He said, I think that garbage trucks are awesome. I want to protect and serve. And I don't want to run away from the fire. I want to run into it so that I can save lives. And I said, you know, it would be almost impossible to work a schedule like that and have all 3 positions. He said, I sleep when I'm dead. He's 6. Yeah, he's 6. So, you know, you see how my life is set up.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds kind of way. Wow.
Well, I wasn't actually listening. I was in the clubhouse. We were doing the living room on the Small House of Poetry, and I said, I got time. I can make it in queue. So since I did make it and Juliana was listening and I wasn't, I don't know what the topic is for tonight or what y'all doing or what you've been talking about.
There's no topic. It's open mic. But we've been asking a question.
Okay.
Of each caller. And Van, would you like to do the honors?
It'd be my pleasure. Tina Storm, the question of the evening is, when did you fall in love with Jesus?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I'll let my poem speak for me. I'm going to freestyle because, like I said, I didn't know what we were doing, but I know what to do.
So you were prepared. Anywho, the mic is yours, Queen.
Thank you. When did I know I was in love with Jesus? I'm going to be honest with you. There was no time when I didn't realize that he was a necessity in my life. See, I was a small child attending church with my grandparents, mostly my grandmother on my father's side, but also from time to time with my mother's mother, too. People would always say, the only reason your grandfather doesn't go to the sanctuary is because he is both a scoundrel and a deacon. So when you catch him in church, it's probably because he came through the back door late and he was sneaking. He didn't want nobody to see him or talk about him because his walk with God wasn't complete, even though he had an appointment in the ministry. The wonderful thing about that was this, that I learned early on that there were some things in my life that were necessities and others that were simply options. And one of the necessities for me was Jesus. So when my oldest granddaughter was about 2 years of age, I had been taking her for quite some time with the man that I would marry, and he would become my second ex-husband. I've dubbed them respectfully First and Second Biblical, because Solomon is my daughter's dad and Moses was my second husband. We would go to the small house of glory. It was one of those storefront churches here in the suburb outside of Chicago that I live in Joliet, and it had a congregation that was made up mostly of immediate family members and then a few other members, including me and Juliana Denise. She'd sit in the sanctuary and she'd be listening and they would be singing and the choir would be praising. They would have praise and worship from the praise team. There would be a sermon from the pastor and some other things. Complexion plate may be passed. But she had no interest in anything but standing up and giving praise, clapping her hands and stomping her feet, beating her tambourine against her thigh and holding her hands to the sky. She closed her eyes and bowed her head, and she'd pray when we did so and say amen just like we did. I didn't think that she was actually mimicking us, no, because I was thinking the same thing about myself. When I'd go to church with the grandparents and carry my pocketbook, I'd have some coins that I could put in the collection plate or basket. I would watch as they paid their tithes, and I want to add something to it. I always sang with the choir because I learned the hymns. Probably around the same time I learned to speak, my mom said there was no baby babble for me, always being articulate, you see. So I'd be in the church and I would be singing my praise and I would be stomping my feet and I also would be shaking my tambourine. My daughter did the same thing too. My mom did this when she was in her youth. They say that curses are sent through the generations, and why can't it be the love of Jesus and praise? Well, I happen to be from one of those families where that is actually the case. So I don't think there was ever a time in my life when I didn't know who he was, what he meant to me, and the sacrifice he made so that my life could be. But I know that all the days that I wake in the morning and slumber at night, I live Jesus, because he's my Lord and Savior, and anything else wouldn't be right. I'm Tina Storm. Thank you for indulging me. In peace.
Somebody earlier on in the show had made a very valid point that God operates outside of time. So taking that into consideration, it was like that whole poem, even though from an earthly perspective, it kind of did a chronology, if you will, of your reasons for loving God. But to him, it's like, this is all the very first time that you fell in love with him. It's a beautiful piece and shows a continuation of your love for him. I And Dan, do you have anything for that piece?
Well, Gina Storm, always stay ready. I love her
freestyle,
always. And, you know, her testimony within the piece.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. Just amazing. And she talked about Biblical 1, Biblical 2, the grandkids. The storm never comes unprepared and unready. And we just lost her. She just dropped. So, yeah.
She ran away.
Commentary over.
Well, folks, we're winding down. So you know what that means. My brother from another mother, Van Meadows, if he would be so kind, is going to give us the awesome epiphany rundown for each week. Then we're going to have a moment of prayer. And then we can hang out if you choose to and listen to some music. And that's how things are going to go. So, my brother, would you mind giving us the weekly rundown and that most important public service announcement?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. Tuesday night's going to be, it'll either be Honey Dripper or Fly Speak with your host, Mojave. Wednesday night, the Erotic Love Zone, Miss VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, y'all, is going to be Iron Sharpens Irons with your host, Anonymity. And guest hosting will be La Pearl, La Negra, of course, pending if my brother feels better. Saturday night, y'all, is going to be Poetic Therapy with La Pearl, La Negra. And then we'll be right back here for another edition of the Inspiration Factory with Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and Alonzo. And who knows, I may pop in as well. Now, if you don't know this Jesus that we've been talking about and falling in love with, reach out to me or Divine Inspiration. We will be happy to show you who he is through his inspired word and through our experiences. Because I promise you, once you fall in love with him, it'll be hard to fall out of love with him. And that's for sure. So please, hit us up in our inboxes or call us, and we'll be happy to usher you into his presence. Paul, back to you.
Thank you so much. So as you see, folks, every night of the week on Epiphany, there's something for you. 319-527-6300 is the number to dial for a few hours of who knows what, but it's never boring, that's for sure. Now, if you would all just kind of clear our mind for a moment and join me at the phone. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to come together, to praise your name, to share your gift with one another. Father God, we ask that you would continue to use us, Lord, for your will, that you would strengthen us and empower us, Lord. We ask that you would cover the poets, the callers, the speakers, and those that wanted to come and could not come, Father God. Touch them, Lord. Father God, these children who have been prophesied over and spoken it into existence that they want to become doctors to eradicate lupus, Father God. Let that be your will, Lord. That young lady that made that declaration in that early life, Father God, brings it to fruition, Father God. Cover her. Bind the enemy from stopping her, Father God. Use her. Allow her to do that most precious, mighty thing in your name. Father God, we just ask that you would continue to put up with us in our shortcomings. Help us to have less and less of those moments, Father, so we might have more time glorifying you. We thank you and we love you until we meet here again, Father God. Please just watch over us, bless us, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory that is due your most precious name. And it's in the mighty matchless name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
Tell one more person. If you're looking for somebody, he's gone. And he don't need nobody else. There's no question of your greatness, nor searching of your power. Oh, the wonder of your glory, to you 40 years is but 1 hour. Your knowledge is all-encompassing, to your wisdom there is no end. Oh, for you alone. God alone. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth is here always. You are he who was and is to come. Who is he that can number your days? You flung the sun to burn in space, and the night moon powers light from day. Oh, you alone, your God, Elohim, you're everything I need. You are God. Till the King, eternal.
withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Come on, you say. Hurt and abused,
Take me to the king. like I can make it. The storm is over now.